was long and laborious. The inhabitants were reduced by famine to decimate and devour their fellow citizens. When their ammunition was spent, they discharged ingots of gold and silver from their engines. But the Mongols introduced a mine to the center of the capital, and the conflagration of the palace burnt above 30 days. China was desolated by Tartar war and domestic faction, and the 5 northern provinces were added to the empire of Genghis. In the west, he touched the dominions of Muhammad, Sultan of Khwarizme, who reigned from the Persian Gulf to the borders of India and Turkestan, and who, in the proud imitation of Alexander the Great, forgot the servitude and ingratitude of his fathers to the House of Seljuk. It was the wish of Genghis to establish a friendly and commercial intercourse with the most powerful of the Muslim princes. Nor could he be tempted by the secret solicitations of the Caliph of Baghdad, who sacrificed to his personal wrongs the safety of the church and state. A rash and inhuman deed provoked and justified the Tartar arms in the invasion of the southern Asia. A caravan of 3 ambassadors and 150 merchants was arrested and murdered at Otrar by the command of Muhammad. Nor was it till after a demand and denial of justice, till he had prayed and fasted 3 nights on a mountain, that the Mongol emperor appealed to the judgment of God and his sword. "Our European battles," says a philosophic writer, "are petty skirmishes if compared to the numbers that have fought and fallen in the fields of Asia." 700,000 Mongols and Tartars are said to have marched under the standard of Genghis and his 4 sons. In the vast plains that extend to the north of the Sihon or Jaxartes, they were encountered by 400,000 soldiers of the Sultan. And in the first battle, which was suspended by the night, 160,000 Khwarizmians were slain. Muhammad was astonished by the multitude and valour of his enemies. He withdrew from the scene of danger and distributed his troops in the frontier towns, trusting that the barbarians, invincible in the field, would be repulsed by the length and difficulty of so many regular sieges. But the prudence of Genghis had formed a body of Chinese engineers, skilled in the mechanic arts. Informed, perhaps, of the secret of gunpowder, and capable, under his discipline, of attacking a foreign country with more vigour and success than they had defended their own. The Persian historians will relate the sieges and reduction of Otrar, Koginde, Bokhara, Samarkand, Khwarizme, Herat, Meru, Nizapur, Balch, and Kandahar, and the conquest of the rich and populous countries of Transoxiana, Khwarizme, and Chorazan. The destructive hostilities of Attila and the Huns have long since been elucidated by the example of Genghis and the Mongols. And in this more proper place, I shall be content to observe that from the Caspian to the Indus, they ruined a tract of many 100 miles, which was adorned with the habitations and labours of mankind, and that 5 centuries have not been sufficient to repair the ravages of 4 years. The Mongol emperor encouraged or indulged the fury of his troops. The hope of future possession was lost in the ardour of rapine and slaughter, and the cause of the war exasperated their native fierceness by the pretense of justice and revenge. The downfall and death of the Sultan Muhammad, who expired, unpitied and alone, in a desert island of the Caspian Sea, is a poor atonement for the calamities of which he was the author. The harem of Genghis was composed of 500 wives and concubines, and of his numerous progeny, 4 sons, illustrious by their birth and merit, exercised under their father the principal offices of peace and war. Tushi was his great huntsman, Zagatai his judge, Oktai his minister, and Tuli his general. And their names and actions are often conspicuous in the history of his conquests. Firmly united for their own and the public interest, the 3 brothers and their families were content with dependent scepters. And Oktai, by general consent, was proclaimed Great Khan or Emperor of the Mongols and Tartars. He was succeeded by his son Gayuk, after whose death the empire devolved to his cousins Mangu and Kublai, the sons of Tuli and the grandsons of Genghis. In the 68 years of his 4 first successors, the Mongols